Well, good morning. I want to give a little preamble here that today it's not going to be a traditional homily. As you saw from our lectors, this is Catholic Schools Week, begins today and goes this whole week. And so first and foremost, pray for our Catholic schools. And because this is Catholic School Week, I won't be talking about the readings. I'm going to give more of a sermon or an informational on the state of education and the Catholic and what Catholic education should look like. It comes from all of us on the leadership team. Father Joseph really has a heart for this and wanted this shared with the entire parish. All of us are involved. It's not just those of us who are parents and have kids in school or grandparents and have grandchildren in school. Every one of us, whatever state of life we're in, has a role to play in improving the Catholic schools that we have, in supporting them. So please, bear with me. It's a difficult subject to talk about, highly controversial. So I ask for your patience with me. If I don't say everything perfectly right, if I say anything that offends someone, please bear with me. I don't want to offend anyone, but it is our responsibility as a parish to reveal what's happening in schools and to encourage all of us to take action, to get involved in making our schools a better place, especially our Catholic schools. Something that we all need to remember, and maybe most of us know this, parents are the primary educators of their children. This is a Catholic foundational principle, and I think sometimes that gets lost because in today's age, we often delegate that authority to the school system. So parents, remember this. You are the primary, the first, the most important educator of your child. And children are a blessing. They're the greatest gift the Lord gives us. And that's why, even though this is a difficult topic, we have to talk about it because we're talking about the safety, the lives, the eternal salvation of our beloved children. God has given us children. We're just the stewards. We have them for a short time. We have to do our part and making sure they're properly educated and formed in the faith. That's part of the baptismal ceremony. You may remember, at some point in the ceremony, the deacon or priest will look at you and remind you, it's your responsibility to train your child in the faith. Are you prepared to accept this responsibility? So that is a foundational principle we need to remember. Another foundational principle that I think we sometimes overlook, every type of education is involved in formation. It's not just neutral. So for example, we are required, we're called by God to educate our children in the faith and educate them in totality, all of education. So the options we have as parents, homeschooling, a private school, Christian or Catholic, a charter school, which we know these are here in the state of Colorado, which are parent-run schools. So that's a very significant difference than what I'm calling the last category, standard public schools. These are the non-charter schools, the non-private schools, most of the schools in the district. You are delegating your authority to these entities, unless you homeschool, in which case you have complete control over all of the content and of the character of the teachers as well, right? Since you're the teacher. The thing to remember is, again, education is formation. That's what the word actually means in Latin. It means to lead out somewhere. So the question, when we look at different education philosophies and models, where are you leading this child? If it's a Catholic or Christian education, you're leading that child to academic excellence and to be formed well in Christ, to have what we call a biblical worldview, to see the world as God sees it, to understand that salvation is the most important thing that's ever happened, that God created all that we see, and that he's given us his laws as a blessing so that we can flourish. So that's where we're leading students in a Catholic setting. We want to make them saints. That's probably the shortest way to say it. We want to make saints of our young men and women. And as I mentioned, the classical charter schools that are available to us in here in town, they want to make virtuous and good citizens. They really focus on virtue, on educating in a very classical way, using logic and sort of the Greek way of thinking, which is really the foundation for education. The last category, the standard public schools, as I'm calling them, First thing to remember is they are involved in formation. We may think that they're neutral. In fact, there probably was a time when they were somewhat neutral. But they're no longer neutral. They have a very comprehensive and aggressive formation program. And what I mean by that is they're trying to lead their students to a different place, to a destination. And here I'm speaking primarily of middle and high school. Elementary schools, not a lot of this happens. But the point I want to make is that the policies in place, the laws in the state of Colorado, the overall formation program of standard public schools is oftentimes leading our children away from the faith. And I know this is something that can be offensive to some of us, and please forgive me if I've offended you. I'm not saying anything about the teachers. We have wonderful teachers even here today. My wife was a teacher in Poudre School District for many years. She just retired. The teachers, all the ones that I know, are hardworking, well-intentioned, and want to do the right thing. But they're currently, right now, caught in a system that has policies and procedures and state law in place that favors taking students in a direction contrary to the faith. In fact, I want to thank all of our teachers that are here, and I want to encourage all of us to pray for our Catholic teachers, especially if they're in a standard public school setting. They work hard, and it's a struggle for them. I know the struggle. I worked in the federal system for 30 years, and towards the end of my career, I was surrounded by policies and procedures hostile to my faith, and it's a struggle. So please pray for them and thank them if you see them. But again, the final product of where the district is trying to lead, and this is statewide in the state of Colorado, I can't speak for other states, is leading students to a place that can be unfriendly to the faith. The students that they're producing, the philosophy behind their education is there's no moral absolutes. Truth is something that we can define ourselves. Morality, especially the topic of sexual morality, is very different than what a Catholic student should be learning. And unfortunately, that is the centerpiece of the debate right now, is Catholic sexual moral ethics. And the Catholic Church has teachings in this area that bring freedom and life. Just remember that always. They're not restrictions. The Catholic Church teaches things to us that bring us freedom and life. And sadly, in the public school system, standard public schools, what's being promoted, what's being taught, what policies are enforcing are things that will lead to misery and slavery. So we need to pray and for the protection of our children. There was a time in the history of the church where the church actually told its parishioners, its people, not to send their kids to public schools. Now, I don't think we've gone that far, but I've developed an opinion that we've pretty much reached that state of affairs where it's no longer safe to send our children without serious consideration, without serious planning. It's no longer safe to send our children to standard public schools. And again, not teachers, it's the policies, the state law, and all those things that are in place. I'll give you three reasons. I could talk for an hour about this, and if anyone wants to talk more, I'm happy to do it. Three reasons that I've come to this conclusion. The formation, as I've mentioned, is not good. It takes students to a place that's contrary to the Catholic faith, especially in the areas of morality. And again, it leads them to a place of real misery and being lost, and we need to pray. The schools have also become places that are somewhat physically unsafe. And I'll give you an example, and I'm not trying to harp just on the sexual topics, but that's really the battleground right today. There was a family in Jefferson County, and maybe some of you read this story, a 12-year-old girl who went on a field trip to Washington, D.C. She woke up she found out at some point that she was sharing a room, in fact, sharing a bed with a 12-year-old boy, a boy who claimed he was a girl. Now, I won't get into all that happened from that, but the bottom line is that school was following their district policy. That is the district policy of this district and the surrounding districts as well. I have the policy with me. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to download it, the Poudre School District policy in this particular area. And basically what it says is a student is whatever they choose to be. Whatever gender they choose to be, everyone, other students, teachers, have to go along with it, and parents don't necessarily have to know. If they don't want the parents to know, the parents don't know. So that actually happened. It's not something that happened way in another state. It's happening here, and it could happen in our immediate area because that's what our policy says. The most significant reason why I think public schools have become somewhat unsafe is parents are completely excluded from all of the decisions that impact our children. Now, that may sound a bit radical, but I encourage you again to read up on this. Do your own research and your homework. There was a family here in this district that their daughter came home from middle school traumatized because an LGB activist came and spoke to the students and told them not to tell their parents, by the way, which is always a red flag for something that's not right. Fortunately, she went home and told her parents. Very long story, lots of controversy, but in the end, the district basically said, we're following our policy. The parents then sued the school district. The ruling just came out in December, where a federal judge in Colorado ruled parents do not have the right to know what's going on in the school system, and they don't have the right to even remove their children from what they consider to be objectionable content. If we remember that the Catholic foundational principle is parents are the first and primary teachers of their children, you can see how that's a huge problem. Because we believe as Catholics, God has given us our children. We have the right to educate them, to be in control of their formation. And if we delegate that to another entity, we still ought to have a say and be able to protect our children. But as it stands right now, the law is not on our side. So what should we do? I would say first and foremost, get involved and get educated. These are things I'm telling you, you don't have to believe me, look them up yourself. These are things happening right here in our state. Get involved with your child's school. Get involved with your child. Develop a deep, good relationship where they'll tell you what's happening in school. Find out what they're learning. Read the books they're reading. And have a plan in place to counteract this formation that's occurring in the public school system. Now, we have a great program here. I encourage all of you that are thinking or aren't involved yet. Our religious education here in this parish equips parents to teach their children because we want the entire family to be properly formed in the Catholic faith, which brings freedom and joy and happiness. So we have a great program here. Please be involved and commit to it. But I also think there are some of us who ought to really prayerfully consider getting into another system. Be aware of what's happening, and if it's something that you reject or don't want, consider some of the other options. Homeschooling, private schools, Catholic schools, charter schools. Okay, let me talk now about what a good Catholic school should be doing and what a good Catholic school looks like. These are the hallmarks of a good Catholic school. Again, like classical schools, they teach logic and reason and how to speak properly, how to write properly, the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic. Basically, at a Catholic school, children become truth seekers, discovering the truth of the universe, science, how this all got here, how this all became so ordered, that God created all of it. So all of the subjects are connected. That's the other hallmark of a good Catholic school, is the integration of subjects. They're not separate areas. Science is related to theology because we can study science because God created an ordered universe, something that's predictable. We can study math because God created an ordered universe that can be defined mathematically. Good theology at a Catholic school, theology that's in line with what the church has always taught. We also at Catholic schools bring students to full maturity in Christ. That's what I mentioned before. We want to make saints. It's not good enough to have a great academic program, to have great sports teams. We want the students to become saints, to be fully mature academically and spiritually. Now, how would a Catholic school do this? What are the ways we carry this out? Again, the content itself has to be solid, especially theology and philosophy, teaching the students how to think logically and rationally. The integration has to be taught. The teachers have to get together and learn how to always bring Christ to the center of what they're teaching. A big, big part of this is the example of holiness in their teachers. You know, I'm one of the founding members of St. John Paul II High School in Windsor. That was our big push at the beginning, it still is. We want teachers that don't just meet the minimum bar of being Catholic. We want them to be examples of vibrant holiness to the young men and women. Because young men and women need to hear about Catholicism, but they need to see it lived out fully and vibrantly. We also need Catholic schools to have a strong identity and Catholic community, where the Catholic way of life is celebrated, where the joy and fulfillment of following the commandments of Christ are visible to everyone. That needs to be there. We just can't say this is the way you ought to live. They need to see it in their teachers, and they need to see it in other students. The other thing that needs to happen is frequent access to the sacraments. This is the beauty of a good Catholic school. Confession, having a priest come and hear confessions frequently, and frequent Mass. Again, at St. John Paul II High School, we have Mass every day. And when we started, there was some debate about that. Should we really do it every single day? And there was questions about how students would respond. Overwhelmingly, the students love it. They love the liturgy, they love the Eucharist, because the Eucharist, Jesus Christ, is the center of everything that happens at a good Catholic school. Now, I've said all these things, and I wish I had an easy solution that we could all just get our kids in a Catholic school or form our kids in the right kind of way or make a difference in the schools that are around us. But we're at the beginning of this problem. We need to work together as a parish and find a way to form our children, this gift that God has given us, to form them in the faith. And part of what the leadership team of this parish wanted to happen this weekend in these homilies is just, first of all, to raise your awareness that there's a lot going on in standard public schools that many of us may not know. Please look into it yourself. Find out what's happening. And in most cases, what I've discovered when I've tried to learn firsthand what's happening is things are actually a little bit worse than I originally thought. But do your research. Get involved in your child's life. Get involved in the classroom. Get involved with the teachers. Do as much as you can to make sure that your child is protected. And make sure they're getting good Catholic formation here at church if they're in a public school where there's no religious education. But I also think many of us ought to consider the sacrifice of being in a Catholic school. And I know it involves sacrifice. Sacrifice of resources. There just aren't as many things and many programs, sports, all those things are not quite the same as being in a standard public school. I think we've come to a time where some of us need to be willing to make a little sacrifice and say, it's just that important that my child be properly formed in the faith. And finally, financial. We know from my involvement in the high school here, finances are always the issue that surface. And again, we don't have a clear answer, but the leadership team of this parish is praying, discerning, investigating. We're trying to find a way locally for us to make Catholic education affordable. We really think there's a solution at hand if we work together on this. It's not going to happen from the outside. We're not going to have vouchers all of a sudden. It would be great if we had vouchers, but the way our state is, the direction our state is moving, that's probably not going to happen. So we need to come up with a plan for ourselves to solve this financial problem. We need to work together. And again, some of us willing to make some sacrifices. There are some of us in a state of life where we have more money and we should be giving more to Catholic schools. Our children, again, are the greatest gift the Lord has given us. We need to do everything we can to treasure that gift. I just end by a short story in my own life. Since I've been a deacon, and especially this last year, we've had a lot of prayer ministry in this parish and in other parishes around town. I've prayed with a lot of people, well over 100 people probably in the last year. The number one concern by about 90% when people come and say, I need prayer, what do you want prayer for? My children, they're away from the church. They've lost the faith. I'm not going to blame public schools for that, but that plays a component in it. There's a certain way, in humility, all of us, myself included, have to admit we can do better. We can do better to form our children. And so please pray for the health, the safety, the support of our local Catholic schools. Pray that the Lord make our schools even better and pray that the Lord give more finances so that we can do the things that the Lord wants us to do with our treasured gift of our children. The angel Gabriel reminded our Blessed Mother that nothing will be impossible for God. She was faced with what seemed to be an impossibility. In many ways, when I look out and see what's going on in our culture and what we're faced with and the littleness of our Catholic school system, I think it's impossible, but we can ask our Blessed Mother. She knows nothing is impossible with God.